Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. It has been a month, maybe a little longer. We're back at it, back with my guy, Matty Kiwoom. I missed you, brother. It's been far too long, but hey, holiday season's come and gone. The end of the football season has come and gone. A lot of traveling, a lot of vacation. I know both you and I, our schedules have been absolutely fucking ridiculous for the last month, but we are back at it, kicking off the new year of fantasy football, 2025. We're going to talk about 2025 very soon, just not on this episode. But Matty, how you been, brother?
Great. I mean, the holidays are great. It's warp speed. You look up, it's Thanksgiving, you're fighting for the playoffs, or you're getting ready for your full-on rebuild in Dynasty, whatever you're doing, you take a breath, blink your eyes, and all of a sudden, you get Christmas, New Year's, season ends, and you're like, what do I do now? Well, luckily, if you're a Dynasty sicko like us, the fun has only just began. So I'm very excited to be back. Very excited to talk 4D. And I have to pull the curtain back a little bit for our listeners. We met up about 45 minutes ago to start recording. And we had to catch up. Talk about some stuff. Some stuff has happened in our lives. We had to talk. So, you know, this is a genuine excitement for us to get back on this mic and start talking a little Dynasty fantasy football.
Yeah. Yeah. That 45 minute wrap up session. That's just for you and I to know, not for the rest of the world.
No,
to record that one for good reason.
There ain't a Patreon tier high enough, boys and girls, for you guys to hear our pre-show convos.
Maybe if it was at like 50 grand, we could risk it for that.
Yeah.
That'd be pricey. It was a good one, though. Matty, what we're going to do for the loyal listeners of the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast, because we didn't get to do it a few weeks back, but it's a tradition here to talk about our biggest losers of the 2024 fantasy football, dynasty football season. And I'm not talking just, oh, this player is a loser. I'm talking, where are the losers? What did we fuck up? Where did we go wrong? Because I am a big proponent of, you learn more through your losses than you do through your wins. I learned almost nothing about all the championships I won this year. Mm-hmm. I learned a hell of a lot about the ones that I fucked up. Where did I go wrong? And why did I go wrong? And how can I fix it? So this is the biggest losers edition. And, you know, on my workout kick right now, I feel like it's a good time, right? Talk about biggest losers.
Yeah, man, 2025, you know, everyone's back in the gym. But if you've been going to the gym like Mike and I have been, we hate those people. We've become official gym bros. We don't want your New Year's revolution ass in our gym. We're trying to get them gains, baby.
Yeah, that's why I don't go to a gym. I have my own home gym, and I just do everything here.
It'd be a little weird if you had residents in there, some new occupants of the gym. Like, where are these fucking people coming?
You know, for a little extra revenue stream, maybe I start farming it out.
South Harmon Gym. Sauna. South coming to an Iowa gym near you.
Let's go, man. Let's go. Matty, though, I'll go first, you know, as the resident 4D super veteran. Your veteran status now. You got an accrued season under your belt, so you can check that off. Welcome aboard. No more rook. You're not a rook no more.
No more hazing. The hazing can stop. Yeah. Okay, Mike, the hazing has to
stop. Taping you to the goalposts. You don't have to carry my luggage.
Can I record an episode with my pants on?
Yes. Yes, you can. But I'll start. And I always like to start at the most important position for you and I, quarterbacks in Superflex leagues. I don't play in any one quarterback dynasty leagues at all. So everything I talk about is through the lens of quarterbacks, and quarterbacks run the world in Superflex leagues. So where did I go wrong? Let's start right at the top. And at the top no more. If you look at keep trade cut ranks and the general sentiment around there, he ain't even close to the top anymore, and that's Anthony Richardson. I expected big, gigantic things from Anthony Richardson this year. We went through a benching of a dusty-ass old Joe Flacco who, quote-unquote, gave them the best chance to win, even though they didn't win when he played. Anthony Richardson, man, I thought even if the passing still struggled this year, a la Justin Fields, he was still going to get the reins, be able to run the offense, and we would get a dynamite rushing season out of him. The only saving grace is we did have moments. Moments of like, see, he only completed 7 passes, but he scored 25 fantasy points. Like, that's what A. Rich can bring. Now, just imagine if he can actually complete 15 passes where we're at. I do think, though, this is going to be one of those guys, kind of like Justin Fields, that I defend until I'm blue in the face and inevitably end up wrong and just left holding the bag. Now, it remains to be seen with Justin Fields. It's been a roller coaster for him. His entire career in A-Rich is really matching up to this, right? You have moments of awesomeness. You have partial seasons of awesomeness. Then you had the despair when Chicago traded him away to Pittsburgh with Russ already on the team for a 6-round pick or whatever the hell it was, just gave him away. And then you had moments of excitement when he comes in and he leads the Steelers to all these wins and is actually putting up fantasy points only to inevitably get benched for Russell Wilson, even though Fields did nothing wrong. Yes. And now we're back at square one. Now, the only saving grace for Justin Fields in this career arc is if in this offseason he gets a starting gig somewhere where there's no real competition and it's his team. But I don't know how likely that's going to be. But I do fear A. Rich is going to be one of those guys that kind of like Justin Fields at one point you spent a first-round startup pick on, and you're never going to see that again. Like, those days have long gone. It's sunk value. So I don't know. How many A. Riches did you miss on, if any, for you personally this season, Maddie?
I missed on one, and it was really an opportunity to sell Anthony Richardson. One of my rebuilds, actually the rebuild that we broke down on a past episode of 4D, my two pillar assets was Caleb, or at the time it was the 101, or the 102. Jaden went 101 in that league. It was 102. I got Caleb and A-Rich. And I was willing to shop anything, especially after our conversation of rebuilding, tearing it down. And I just got too greedy with A-Rich. And now, I mean, I would have taken one or two components of the 4-piece mega deal that I was trying to get for a guy like A-Rich. But the question I got to ask you is this, because we talked in Canton last year at the Fantasy Expo about this player, Michael Pittman Jr. With Anthony Richardson going to be coming back, of course they're going to give him another chance. What are you doing with your Michael Pittmans, your Josh Downs? What are you doing with those pieces with A-Rich at quarterback?
So off air, we kind of talked about the old Godfather 3 Al Pacino quote. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. I was the biggest Michael Pittman Jr. proponent in the offseason, and I was probably also his biggest defender in season. I want to say sometime around like week 10, week 11, week 12, like the shit was just like, even I just shut the fuck up and let the people talk about how bad he was and how bad he was playing, because it was impossible for me to defend. Right. Anthony Richardson's playing like shit. Even when Joe Flacco was in there, Michael Pittman Jr. still wasn't that great. The one thing I'll say, though, the reason I'm still bullish on Michael Pittman, and I think Michael Pittman will be a buy for me this offseason if his dynasty value stays pretty similar. I don't know how many people caught it, but I did just pass on. They do a lot of exit interviews and reports with the media where they're kind of talking at the end of the season. And Michael Pittman Jr. was talking about how bad his back injury actually was and how the team doctor said, no, you can't play. And he basically fought these fucking guys to get out there on the field. If he's out there and he's just holding an iota, because he had some moments where you're like, see, that's why you get him. And I didn't think he looked all that bad, all that terrible. It was just a function of the offense, and he wasn't really moving exactly the way that he used to, you know, last year. Mm-hmm. I'll say that exit interview kind of saved me and brought me back in where I'm like, It didn't really sound like he was bullshitting or making excuses. He had a bad back injury. He wanted to fucking fight through it. He'll get it corrected and fixed this offseason. So even if A-Rich is back in the same old dog shit that we've seen from him passing, Michael Pittman Jr. might be a pretty decent mid-wide receiver too. Right now, people hate him even fucking more than that. So we can lump him in there. Let me go to Keep Trade Cuts, see how fucking bad Michael Pittman Jr. is, because it's gotten pretty abysmal.
I'm sure he's even in the – I'm sure you'd have folks tell you with confidence that they'd rather have Jalen McMillan.
Wow. So he is wide receiver 41 on Keep Trade Cut right now, Maddie. 41, just ahead of Xavier Leggett. Ooh. Who I think you and I like, but Jesus, Michael Pittman Jr.'s bad season was better than the Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, no kidding.
And Tank Dell, who's not playing football in 2025, I think we can confidently say that's probably not happening.
Right. I mean, there's no
that's
way
the range he's in right now. Right. He's behind Cortland Sutton, Chris Godwin, Khalil Shakir, Ricky Pearsall, his teammate Josh Downs, Tyreek Hill, Jerry Jeudy, Mike Evans, and Jalen McMillan all the way up there at wide receiver 32.
Hmm. I don't know, Mike. I think I'm going to back you up on this with this Michael Pittman buy situation. One thing that I will remember all off season when it comes to this guy, 3 games out of his last 4, 9 or more targets. Finished the season back-to-back 10 target games. If for some reason you needed him in the championship, well, by golly, Mike, Michael Pittman came in big time with a wide receiver 9 performance. I think there's still some left in the tank. Yeah, of course, we're going to be nervous a little bit about Anthony Richardson being the quarterback, but you can only go up, right? You can only go up.
It can't stay that bad forever.
It can't always be that bad. I mean,
so I'm looking at some deals on the lab, recent ones. So the oldest one I got is from the 9th of January. So we'll start there. Michael Pittman was acquired for the 211 and the 309 in 2025 draft class. And Maddie, at that price, I'm buying all the Michael Pittman.
Yeah.
All of it. Just not a great class to have the 211 and 309 in anyways. Yes, give me Michael Pittman.
We'll talk a lot about that this offseason on this show, but yeah, I agree with that statement.
How about Michael Pittman for the 210, the 310, and the 410, just in case you needed more shitty draft picks?
surely, Mike, you must know, Michael Pittman must be 33 years old.
Right.
To have fallen off that hard rate. He has to be done.
No. This one, I think most people would probably take the other side, but Mike Evans and Saquon Barkley for Michael Pittman and Breece Hall.
Yeah, I would take the other side, but that's more of a Saquon versus Breece discussion at this point.
And I think Evans versus Pittman, if that's where you wanted to have your debate and people sided on Mike Evans, I wouldn't be mad at you. Right? No. All Mike Evans has done is just shit 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Even when he misses a shit ton of time, it's like, yep, we're still going to get 1,000. How about Michael Pittman in the 109 or Drizzy Drake London coming off the Michael Penix hot streak?
I think I would rather have Drake London there, but it's a lot closer because – and that could change. We'll talk a lot in depth about the 25 class, but the more and more I kind of started getting into the class and the nature of the class, the less likely I care about any pick after the 101. Just like, give me either a shitload of them and take a bunch of chances at the well, or give me none of them and give me veterans, because I don't know. I don't know how it's going to look.
I don't think you're wrong about that one. I think it's a lineup start 10, too. To put that in the context, I think I'm taking Drake London there.
Yeah.
Best ball league, you can convince me to, Mike, do the process, man. Just take Pittman in the 109.
You know, if I don't have to worry about when Anthony Richardson's going to complete 10 or more passes, yes, then it makes Michael Pittman that much more valuable.
For sure. All right, so A. Rich and Michael Pittman, do you have anybody else? Right off the top of your head, top of your list that you missed.
Yeah,
on big time?
So my biggest miss, I have 2 glaring misses, and I'll get into all of them because there's more than 2. But the biggest one is Devon Achane. Huge miss on my part was staying away in Dynasty, staying away in startups. I did, however, draft him in one of my seasonal leagues, but that's because he fell to the fourth round, which was absolutely banana land. Had to take him. My worry about him, of course, was his ability to stay healthy, and he spat in the face of all of the haters playing in 17 games. He ended up being running back 5 in fantasy. He was running back 5, 15th overall player in wins over replacement. Incredibly valuable. Was the best receiving back in all of football last year. 87 targets, damn near 16% target share. First in receptions, first in receiving yards. Not only did he stay healthy, Mike, but he went full on CMC in his usage. And if Tua didn't miss as many games as he did, he would have finished in that conversation of running back 1 overall and been on that pedestal with, you know, the likes of Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs. Having said all that, though, we talked about learning from mistakes. This one, I think the lesson is not going to be chasing what you've already missed. It's going to be sticking to your guns when that particular bit of evidence, that particular bit of worry hasn't changed. So going into 25, I'm assuming I will be fading him again based on the same concerns of size and durability. But I'm willing to get hurt again because he certainly made me miss big time on such a dynamic player, such a high floor player. And like I said, I don't even think we saw his ceiling because of all the games that Tua missed.
Yep, that was a big part of it just because Tua was out. That offense was abysmal. So maybe he would have even had a better season. But the way his season did kind of unfold, if you look at the raw data, you want to look at warp or you want to look at points per game or overall running back finish, he had a good season. He did. Mm-hmm. So in that aspect, you're not wrong that that was a miss for you. But just pulling up some of the advanced data here on Devon Achane and looking at how actually bad it was, and kind of how lucky he got just being buoyed by all those targets and all those catches and receiving yards. I mean, he wasn't the Achane that we saw the first year, which was a dynamic, just ridiculously explosive, could house it from anywhere kind of player. It was a lot more pedestrian this year. His juke rate, 30th in the league. 30th in the league for a guy that's elusive and that fast. His explosive rating, 24th. Like Devon Achane.
Right. 24. One of the most explosive backs athletically.
Only 10 breakaway runs all year. 10. For a guy who played, like you said, durability, played in all the games.
Yeah.
Out there all the time playing. 10 breakaway runs for Devon Achane. And the run block rating, the offensive line in Miami was pretty piss poor. 31st out of all qualified running backs. That's not the fucking greatest thing. Like, he was having to do a lot of it, but just strictly through volume. So if you want to project any of this kind of stuff to carry over to next year and include some of the size durability things, Matty, you might have just been a year early on the fade. Like, you might have just been a year early on the fade, to be honest.
So is he a sell for you in most dynasty leagues right now?
I didn't realize it was that bad, right? Like, I was just enjoying the fantasy production and the ridiculously high floor that he had. Even when Tua was out, it was they were manufacturing screens for him left and right, and the offense ran through him, and he's getting goal line work, and Raheem Mostert and Jalen Wright were fucking afterthoughts in this offense. Mm-hmm. It was the Devon Achane show. The problem is when you don't have super high efficiency running backs that are completely propped up by volume, Najee Harris, right? Like those kind of, they usually tend to fail and disappoint you more than they're going to prop you up. So I would say right now, you know, sorry to all the, I was an Achane truther. Adam's an Achane truther. Yeah. My dad's a goddamn Dolphins fan. Sorry to say this. Matty, I think I'm on your fucking side. I think I'm selling this son of a bitch in the offseason. Like, I look at these metrics and they just, can it get better if Tua stays healthy for a whole year? Fuck yeah, they probably can. Can they improve the offensive line? Can they devise more ways? You know, can McDaniel scheme up more stuff to get him more explosive and kind of back to it? Yes, all that can change. I acknowledge it. I just, at his current price, I don't know if I want to bet on that. I don't. If you're propped up strictly by volume, at the running back position, I get it. We like to chase volume because it's kind of safe. But at one point, Rashad White was safe because of all the volume, and you see how fast that shit changes. And all of a sudden, that dude's fucking burnt toast and dead. Barbecue chicken alert. So, not saying Achane's Rashad White, but process is going to tell me, listen, if people are paying a lot for him this offseason, fucking sell him. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, and I think it's always important to bring this up, that trading players doesn't mean they suck. It can also just mean what their current price tag is. And leveraging a player that has red flags like Achane does, whether it be in the analytical profile, the efficiency metrics, or the size concerns, health concerns, you're not saying get rid of him for the 211, 311, and 411. You're dancing at the top of the list. I mean, would you take your Devon Achane share and jump in a little Ashton Jeanty?
Oh, easily.
Right, yeah, I think you're not far off. You're not far off from that, and you're definitely still at the table to get a Breece or a Jahmyr Gibbs or a something like of that nature. So yeah, the opportunity is there to cash in.
Yeah, I'm gonna let me look and see what he's trading for right now. Just since the new year rolled over, DK Metcalf and Achane or Rico Dowdle and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I would take the Achane side there.
Yep, I think I'm with you on that one. Achane or the 112 and 201 in this class?
No, that's Achane. I'm taking Achane there.
Yeah. All right. Maybe he ain't trading for as good as we thought. This keep trade cut reg don't really match up, bud.
Yeah, no kidding.
Achane and Jaden Reed or Ricky Pearsall in the 105.
I guess Achane ain't trading like we thought. Achane was trading
before. He might not be trading like we thought. That keep trade cut rank of RB4 might be full of shit because I don't see anybody out there paying them prices, at least so far.
That's not even close.
I would say if those are the prices, I'm keeping Achane. Fuck it. I'll roll with the volume. I was assuming it'd be something like, like you said, Achane or the 101. Achane or, Saquon Barkley plus something, or Achane, or you want to go down to like Jonathan Taylor in a first, right? You start getting those ranges, fuck it, give me the tear down all the time. But
yeah,
if those ain't the prices, if they're like what I listed, fuck that, man. Give me Achane, godly.
Yeah, I mean, Pearsall's not at the point yet where we're buying on confidence, are we? So, I mean, getting the 105 is cool,
yeah.
But if you now, let me ask you this, though. Your move, well, I guess it was Jaden Reed, too, right? I mean, this wasn't a string bean here. This wasn't a free 99 coupon. This was two legit players.
Somebody legit?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's not trading like you thought he was.
Nope. I think the Ricky Pearsall, Jaden Reed thing, if you want to have a debate on who you prefer, you could start there. But then 105 for Achane, he kind of talked about it, alluded to it. Like, this class doesn't get me that fucking excited, man. Like,
there's
the 105
just so many of them. Yeah. That's the point. And we're going to talk all about this, but the running back class is so good. Is there a point of diminishing returns where they're just all third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks because teams are like, why am I going to reach on a Caleb Johnson when I can wait and get Damian Martinez in the seventh? Like, I don't know what these NFL teams are going to tell us.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Pass on that one. All right, I got another one. It's at the quarterback position. This one will be short and sweet, though, because I really screwed the fucking pooch on this one. I could have swore to God this guy was going to bounce back this year, despite the haters, despite everything going on. Deshaun Watson. Absolute fucking junk. I can't believe I ever fucking defended this guy. Still, as of like a week ago, Maddie, I was still trying to defend him in the Discord. Like, dude's starting, obviously. They restructured his contract. You ain't getting fucking rid of him. They probably won't even draft anybody this year because they fucked that pickup. This is going to be the Deshaun Watson show as soon as he comes back from this Achilles. And if you're telling me I can get a starting quarterback in Superflex for like a late second in this class or a third, sign me the fuck up, man. I'll buy all the Deshaun Watson. And then the news comes out that the fucking guy's not even wearing his walking boot and has re-tore the same fucking Achilles that he just tore a couple months ago. God damn it.
Off campus, too, like off site. He might be Foxville with this.
I can't deal with this fucking guy no more. I'm done, man. But I fucked this up completely because I had predictions about Deshaun Watson being a top 10 quarterback in 2024 and welcome back to the promised land. Nope. None. I will say this. He's still better than Jameis Winston. I'm sorry. Not sorry.
Jameis is fun, man. Jameis is fun.
Jameis is extremely fun. He's just really bad at playing the quarterback position.
He made Jerry Jeudy awesome for like a week or two.
Yes, he did. He is extremely fun, but he's terrible at playing quarterback. Oh, he is. Yeah, I mean. He is like the more Christian version of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
I did. Somebody told me when Jameis was playing that they, I don't remember who the fuck told me, but they had heard that somebody said there should be a rule where Jameis Winston is just the all-time emergency quarterback for every team, every game. like fuck, quarterback goes down, bring in Jameis.
That's the greatest idea of all time. That keeps every fantasy pass catcher relevant.
Yes, it does.
Any injury.
Yeah, he don't need a fucking playbook either. He's just chucking that bitch.
You go down there. You go down there. You kind of hitch. I'm gonna chuck it. I mean, he's gonna score a lot, but he's gonna give a lot up. He's gonna contribute to some wins, but as many, if not way more, losses.
Big miss for me, though, on Deshaun Watson. He's fucking booty cheeks. Head case. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with this guy. A lot, apparently. But I tried. I tried to defend him. I tried, and I can't do it no more. But my apologies to everybody who listened and, you know, maybe bought Deshaun Watson for a fucking early second or, God forbid, a late first or some shit like that, because that's in the toilet forever.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, these things with these professional athletes who have these similar proclivities. Once they get derailed from these proclivities, they tend to crash, burn, and never bounce back. Talking to you, Tiger Woods. My miss, I'll give another miss, and it wasn't necessarily a top of the draft miss the kind of like in Dynasty. It wasn't really a high cost transaction to bring him aboard, but I missed out on Brian Robinson. I was putting a lot of eggs in the Brian Robinson basket. I thought he would be a surefire running back two, borderline running back one in this offense. You know, we saw in training camp the pass catching reports with him and Daniels, and he came out hot. But as the end of the season rolled around, you look back on it, you say, this guy was running back 28, 91st overall in WARP, wasn't super valuable. Running back 29 overall, running back 28 per game. So I know he missed some games, but even on a per game basis, he's still outside of the running back two range. Now you look at his career, running back 36, running back 22, running back 28. Those are his 3 years as a pro. Not a single locked in running back two. He did finish as 22, so back end. He just is not going to be the guy that I thought he'd be in 2024 and probably going forward. Because when you look at the underlying metrics, quite frankly, my friend, they were trash. Brian Robinson does not have much redeeming qualities in his analytical profile. He had really bad per-touch metrics. He was not really evasive or elusive. For his size and his running style, he really didn't break a lot of tackles if you look at the break tackle metrics. And I don't think he did enough to solidify himself in this Commander's offense. So I don't see why they wouldn't take a running back as early as round three or four, considering how good some of these running backs are, considering how ahead of schedule this team is. They could afford a luxury pick in the third or fourth, bringing in a running back to be the bell cow, to be quite frank, with Eckler being his age and Brian Robinson just really being underwhelming. I really did miss on him. And again, it wasn't so much that I spent a lot of trade capital or draft capital to bring him aboard. It was that in a year where all of these running backs were falling off the trees, you could just put your hands out and have three starting running backs. I put a lot of weight on Brian Robinson. And in doing so, I missed out on so many of the running backs that broke out or stayed healthy. And because of that, He went down as one of my biggest misses. The teams that I had a lot of faith in him performing on didn't fare so well, either not making the playoffs or losing early in the playoffs.
Yeah, he started off fantastic.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, found money. Here's the crazy part. At some point, it's switched, and a guy that we all wrote off for dead, and oh, he's playing with a running quarterback. They're not even going to use him in this kind of offense. Austin Eckler became a fucking problem for when he was healthy. When Austin Eckler was healthy, became a big fucking problem for Brian Robinson. And then you kind of assume when Eckler was out, man, it's going to be the B-Rob show again. You know, back to it. And then, like, fucking Jeremy McNichols became a problem at times. Chris Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And like you said, his advanced metrics were never good. And I think looking forward to it, he was a lot of, like, what we thought he was. A slow plotter. But we assumed the volume was going to be there. And at the beginning, the volume was. And it looked great in this upstart fucking offense from Washington. And then the volume disappeared, and there was no efficiency to go with the lack of volume, and it was just an absolute clusterfuck for B-Rob. So that one did fucking hurt. And if you want to look forward to the future, after what they saw, you brought up a lot of great points. They're ahead of schedule on where they thought they were going to be. Shit, they already won a playoff game. They're moving on to the second fucking round. Like, this is a – Jaden Daniels is that dude, and, you know, next week when we talk about our wins, you – better fucking believe I'm going to rub it into everybody on that one. But then you look at it, Matty, there's a lot of things going against him. Good draft class, deep draft class for running backs, even though we just had a couple declare to go back to school. There's going to be a ton out there. Third round pick, a fifth round pick, you know, sixth round guy. Like, these are going to be interesting ones that they bring in. And then the running back free agent class is... there's some names. There's some names that give at least what B-Rob does, if not maybe slightly better. I don't know. Najee Harris is going to be out there as a free agent. You want to talk about a slow plotter who's a volume guy? Would you rather have Najee or B-Rob? Toss up, right? Like, who gives a shit?
Well, if they spend money on bringing him in, they're telling you they'd rather have Najee.
Yeah.
That'll be easy.
You know, A.J. Dillon, for what his fucking worth, is out there. Javonte Williams, Alexander Mattison kind of had a little bit of revival. J.K. Dobbins has had a career revival. So, Rico Dowdle's going to be a free agent. Kareem Hunt might have a little juice left in the tank. There's some fucking names out there where they're just as exciting or bland or however you want to describe it, but they're basically Brian Robinson. Like, they're just that kind of guy. So, not a lot of, like, real hope if you got B-Rob. Matty, I would say... if he's still holding any kind of dynasty value, like if you can finagle a second out of somebody, do it.
It's worth the liquidity, in my opinion.
You'd rather be liquid and use that to move up or, you know, trade that away for another vet or whatever the fuck. Just stay liquid. So if you can get anywhere close to that or like an early third and some fucking tossing, like I think I'm just moving Brian Robinson before the hammer really comes down, you know, about March, April time.
Right.
We start to get some free agent news, and then we get to the NFL draft. Like, this is a scary running back kind of archetype to own right before a good running back rookie class goes into the books.
see if you can get Michael Pittman. Jump into a little Michael Pittman.
He is RB21 still on Keep Trade Cut.
Well, as we've learned in this episode, Mike, Keep Trade Cut is so accurate. You can get Devon Achane for a bag of Lay's potato chips.
True. I wonder if I got any Brian Robinson trades up here, man. Let's see how bad. Is it really RB21 prices? Dude, somebody got Russ and Jaleel McLaughlin for Brian Robinson.
I mean, Russ...
3 days ago.
Theoretically, Russ is going to start somewhere, right?
You would think. You would think. Jalen McMillan in the 312 for Brian Robinson.
Whoa. That's higher than what you could get for Devon Achane right now.
I don't fucking get this. Yeah. Those are the only two ones out here worth the shit we're talking about.
Sell.
Sell the shit out of him. Fucking Brian Robinson.
Yeah, hope he scores a couple tutties against Detroit. Flip. Sell.
All right, another miss I got. I'm going to lump two guys in here. I don't like this archetype of quarterback. It's never paid off for me well in fantasy, and you know how much I love running quarterbacks. But when I said I wasn't interested in Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield, I should have been fucking interested, especially at their prices in the offseason, because they both paid off in a big way. Baker Mayfield finishes the number two quarterback on the year in WARP, and Jared Goff down there at QB7. Now, Both of them did have bad games. Jared Goff had a 5-interception game where he looked absolutely fucking abysmal, and at times they'd only let him throw like 14, 15 times a game because that's all they needed to do in this offense. But fantasy production points-wise, at the end of the day, you were probably better off starting Jared Goff than a lot of guys, including Anthony Richardson or Deshaun Watson. So when they finished so fucking piss poor and Jared Goff so far up here, I done fucked up. Now, I will say this. If the prices on these kind of guys get to stupid levels, which they kind of have been, I'm still going to stick with the what Maddie said kind of about Achan. I think my process was right. It just didn't work out for me this time, so I'm probably still going to fade these pocket passer quarterbacks. But if they still continue to get discounted, though, kind of like we saw before the season kicked off and during the season, I should be a little bit more interested in trying to acquire some of these guys for late first, that kind of thing. Anything more than that, though, I'm fucking out, man. Give me the running quarterbacks. Give me the A-Riches. I'll take my misses before I go down with a pocket passer who's kind of sketchy. But as of right now, though, not looking good, fading Baker and Jared Goff like I did. That kind of sucked.
So as we look into this offseason, a couple names do come to mind. Using this process, using your knowledge, what are you going to tell our listeners to do about Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, and to an easier extent, but potentially a more catastrophic, Jordan Love?
Jordan Love is probably the most polarizing one out of the groups because we have seen some dynamite, amazing play. I discovered a love for Jordan Love with you on a Sunday Night Football watch party that we had.
Yeah.
Where Adam was on there where he tore the Chiefs a new asshole. So my love for Jordan Love came specifically when I was around Matty Kiwoom and watching that. He was dynamite. But we've also seen him kind of regress. We've also seen as the offense gets more banged up that, he's not a real dynamic runner either. And he has a penchant for putting the ball in harm's way. I would say at quarterback 10 prices right now, he's just in a big giant tier of give me the cheapest guy out of the group. And I don't think that's going to be him for anybody. I don't think that's going to be him. So in that case, Jordan Love would be a sell. You know, I've been on the sell Brock Purdy and the sell Sam Darnold train for a long time. Like, this is something that I will take to my fucking grave, that these two quarterbacks, this type of archetype of quarterback, Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold, if they're valued anything more than mid to back end QB2 types in Dynasty, sell. Because they're easily replaceable. They don't actually give you the production that you're looking for. And people will point back to Brock Purdy last year when everything was going right and where he finished in warp. I get it. He had a great season. But you also saw with Brock Purdy this year and now Sam Darnold for these last couple games, same fucking picture, same story. When the situation isn't absolutely fucking perfect around them, they are not good. They are not good and prone to fucking meltdown. And I've seen it now for multiple years from Brock Purdy. When he's missing Trent Williams, the splits are terrible. When he's missing a George Kittle, the splits are terrible. You saw this year when he's missing Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and the offensive line's a little banged up and they ask him to carry this fucking team on offense. He can't do it. Carried him to missing a playoff. Sam Darnold, same fucking scenario, man. Mm-hmm. I would say the one that was the most concerning to me is Sam Darnold had a great, great fucking month of September. October hit, he plays the Jets, and he struggled his fucking ass off. And I went, there's a Sam Darnold I know. There's a Sam Darnold I know. And now you saw for the last two games, with the entire fucking world watching, talks of him possibly being an MVP, talks of $50 million quarterback, talks of the Vikings trading J.J. McCarthy, who they just drafted, and handing the keys to Sam Darnold, and him being the man, the last two biggest games of his entire fucking career, absolute shit show. Seeing ghosts, panicked when the protection wasn't absolutely fucking perfect for him. These are the quarterbacks you want to avoid, man. It's kind of like it's a description that Congress gave about porn. I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it. I can't tell you a shitty quarterback, but I know it when I see it. Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy. So, yeah, Sam Darnold right now, QB21. I'm probably selling at that price. He's getting a starting job probably somewhere next year. It's just not going to be a very good situation. It's going to be like the fucking Raiders with nobody. You know, Brock Bowers, this is all you got. Ooh, right. How much better is Sam Darnold than what Aiden O'Connell is? In reality, in that situation, maybe not at all.
Raiders. Changing teams, no Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown around to help you out.
Brock Purdy's going to have the same scheme. He's going to have a lot of the same weapons back. My biggest issue with him is, can those weapons, one, stay healthy? They haven't lately. And two, this team is going to be in salary cap hell after they pay him. Like, they're going to be, they paid fucking Brandon Ayuk, they paid Trent Williams. They've paid those dudes on the defensive line. They are just fucking running out of money. And if they pay their quarterback $40, $50 million next year, like people are talking, the situation is just going to slowly keep deteriorating. So long-term play, I'm out on Brock Purdy at QB 15 right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's more expensive for a Purdy. I think, too, this transition into 2025, I think some of the best dynasty moves will be made by those who didn't forget what their thoughts were in 2023. Meaning, so much weird fuckery happened in this 2024 season that you'd be, I think, a bit crazy and a bit careless in your dynasty gaming to all of a sudden go off of the, you know, the trends in what we saw in 2024. All the running backs stayed healthy. You can't go into 25 believing that's going to be true because, I mean, that doesn't happen. And pocket passers. I know the Konami guys still ruled the class, the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels. They rule fantasy football. But we did. We saw Baker, Darnold. We saw these guys, Goff. We saw these pure pocket passers. Joe Burrow. I know Joe Burrow's kind of the 99th percentile of this player, but he was on everyone's fade list coming into 2024 because we were fading the pocket passers. He goes out and throws a perfect game, as all these guys did. And I just think going into next year, it's important to not all of a sudden believe that these are the new pillars of fantasy, that running backs stay healthy, pocket passers can throw a million touchdowns and be good in fantasy. And hell, even by the end, tight ends started to matter. We're like, wait. This is getting out of hand. All of the principles that I have just found to be true over the last decade and a half of playing fantasy football completely turned on its head. And I think talking this through with you now, talking about pocket passers, talking about the running back staying healthy, it's important that as we go into this offseason to not completely forget about the feelings and thoughts that we had last offseason, because a lot of this shit I don't believe is going to be year-to-year consistent. It can't be, right? I mean,
it can't. Pocket passers to help? Can't. On the line of pocket passers, you brought up Joe Burrow, and I wouldn't say there was some people out there. There's some really shitty injury analysts on fantasy football Twitter, and you guys know who the fuck I'm talking about, who said, you know, overanalyzing the fact he can't grip a fucking Gatorade bottle, and it's the type of injury he had where he's never going to be able to play again, and whatever the fuck, you know, whatever bullshit they were on. He was getting faded in the offseason, but some of that was in there where I was like, I'm not fading Joe Burrow that far. You know, like, he's going outside the top 10 in quarterbacks. Like, what the fuck are we doing, right? Like, yes, he's a pocket passer, and that's not who I chase, but you're telling me I get this kind of guy who also has probably top 5 upside if he throws 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, which he can with Chase and Higgins in this fucking offense? Like, I'm not fading him that far. Jesus Christ, people, what are we doing here? So I wasn't that big of a fade on Joe Burrow. My only problem I have now is Joe Burrow did pitch a perfect game. He did pitch a perfect game. He came out, he put all the fucking worry about his wrist and everything to rest. And he went out and he fucking did his thing, man. Damn near 5,000 yards, 43 passing touchdowns. But he did all that, Maddie, and he still only finished his QB5 in warp on the season in 4-point passing touchdown leagues. QB5 in warp. The man threw for 5,000 fucking yards and 43 touchdowns. And he was QB5 in warp. Let that sink in just for a fucking minute. I'm not saying the old number 5 player in warp. I'm saying QB fucking 5. Meaning, all the quarterbacks above him, minus one, who also went out and pitched a perfect fucking game, Baker Mayfield, who I fucking missed on as well. Mm. Every other one of them is a running quarterback. Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts also right on Joe Burrow's fucking heels. So, just saying, man, the pocket passer thing, that's a dangerous game to play, even with a guy like Joe Burrow. So if you're going to tell me you got to take him as QB4, QB5 in a dynasty startup this offseason, I would say pump the brakes. probably losing T. Higgins. We don't know what happens with Ja'Marr Chase. We don't even know what happens with this coaching staff. Just a little cautious optimism. I will say, though, if he goes outside the top 10 again, fuck it, I'll have all the Joe Burrow in the world, right? But
easy money at that point.
Easy fucking money at that point. Just have some cautious approach to those pocket passers. Like, the process still holds true, right? Still holds true.
So another miss of mine, I want to talk about a rookie miss. And there are two. I'm going to talk about the one that probably affected me the most and a lot of people out there who were similarly thinking about this player, but Brian Thomas Jr. I did not believe that we were going to get this version of Brian Thomas Jr. Comes out, year one, rookie, wide receiver 5, 22nd overall player in Warp, wide receiver 4 in fantasy, 1,200 receiving yards. He had a 2.55 yards per route run that was 8th best in the NFL. The guy was a top 5 yards after catch guy at this size. He had over 560 yards after catch. He was phenomenal, 25% target share. And now he's firmly placed himself in the argument to be the wide receiver one of this class. And I just kind of went into this in my thoughts was it was neighbors one. I loved Rome. I was still on Marv. And then even after that, it was a lot of Xavier Worthy love for me, a little bit of Keon Coleman, a little Ladd McConkey, and McConkey looks good. But, man, Brian Thomas Jr. was and is a top 10 dynasty wide receiver, and that's being conservative. He was way more A.J. Green than I thought he was and way less Mike Williams. And truth be told, we all thought that A.J. Green was Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it was Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. was absolutely phenomenal. And the lesson I'm going to learn from this is when a guy has one trick in college, if that trick is so good, I'm not going to fade it because it's just one trick, knowing that even he gets to the next level, he can evolve that athleticism that makes him so good at that one thing. And in college, he was the deep guy. It was all neighbors, and he was the deep guy. Most of his catches were 25 or more yards. He was jumping on people's heads, and you thought, man, this looks a lot like Mike Williams. I don't believe in this type. He looked a lot like George Pickens. I didn't believe in George Pickens coming out. Kind of proven to be true on that as well. But that's not Brian Thomas Jr. He was able to make moves. You know, like I said, that the yak, the yards per run, everything is there for Brian Thomas. And he did it with a down Jaguars offense. I mean, there's no other way to dice it. He didn't have Trevor Lawrence for the last quarter of the season. It didn't matter. Mike Jones didn't matter. He was catching touchdowns and he was dominating. And Brian Thomas is a miss that it's the miss I will learn the most from in terms of my process in Dynasty.
I figured out what the song's going to be for the outro, though.
Mike Jones.
Yeah. I got it. Done.
In celebration of TikTok that may be leaving by the next time we record.
May be fucking banned by then.
Some of my favorite TikToks are like the thing being turning off the music the second Mike Jones says Mike Jones in a song, and they start the song and just Mike Jones and they shut it off. And all of you young listeners, you're not going to know what we're talking about, but Mike Jones, who was the punchline when we were in high school. Mike Jones, who?
Everything was there for Brian Thomas Jr. His route win rate, pretty good. I'll be very interested in the offseason when we get to see Matt Harmon's reception perception charts come out about how these rookies actually did and see how good the graph is, because it felt like he won on everything he did.
Anything.
Short, deep. This was a guy, the offseason talk, you were right, was like, the dude can only run 9 routes and hitches. This is all he does. Like that was the knock on him. And it felt like from the jump of the season, it was like, oh, no, he can run a slant. Oh, look at that dig. Oh, look at that out route. Oh, a stutter and go. He fucking ran everything, and he ran it pretty well, considering. And everything's there. The only thing that was like on his profile for this year that you're like, not what I thought, contested catch win rate. Kind of piss poor. 64th, like for a guy who was a deep ball, jump ball specialist.
Right.
Just bottom half of the league. Yeah. Bottom half of the league in that. So, I mean, if you're going to be bad in anything, might as well be that one, because we kind of pointed out that stats is kind of overblown all the time. Nobody really gives a shit. And if you got a high contested catch win rate, it means you probably don't separate at all ever. So all your shit's contested.
Can we just take a quick second to voice how shitty of a coach Brian Kelly is?
Yes.
Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, yes. Brian Thomas fucking Jr. on the same team.
And looking ahead, offensive line wise, they probably got two tackles that are going to be first round picks at some point.
In a probably the tight end 3 or 4 off the board.
There you go. And this fucking team was not that great.
Cheek. Well, they were only a 3-loss team, but in the landscape of the former fan college football, that's kind of cheeks.
It wasn't great. Fuck you, Brian Kelly. You're terrible.
Unbelievable.
Notre Dame's experiencing all the success too without Brian Kelly at the helm. It just makes me fucking happy, man. Especially when he developed an accent like the minute he signed that contract down in LSU. Like, get the fuck out of
here. I'm going to bring a whole lot of wins down to this part of the country. When I came here from Notre Dame, I'm going to make sure that these fellas are playing nice and tough and we're going to get them dubs.
He kind of sounded, who was that, who's that big chicken from the cartoon? You know, I say.
What is his name? Let me look it up.
That's who he fucking reminds me of when he talks in his Louisiana accent. It's so terrible. So transparently bullshit, along with his dancing on that recruit. Oh, God.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah, there we go. Foghorn Leghorn.
Brian Kelly's Foghorn Leghorn.
All right. I got one more for you, for me to close out the show. And then we'll get to your last one, Maddie. Mm-hmm. Mine's Brock Bowers. Now, let me preface this by saying, the process on Brock Bowers was correct. Where I fucked up and missed is when he came into the league already at tight end 4 on Keep Trade Cut. I looked at it and I went Trey McBride and Sam Laporta and Travis Kelce, you know, still doing his thing. And maybe Kyle Pitts now with Kirk Cousins / Michael Penix will be back on fucking top. I didn't see a lot of room for Brock Bowers to go up. I didn't. And I would just sell all my Brock Bowers. Like, if this is what you guys want, I'll sell Brock Bowers. Maddie, it took till like the first or second week of fucking September. Brock Bowers went from 4 to 1 like that. Like that. Like that. And he did nothing but grow on the one. Like, usually when you're 1, you're like, you can't go anywhere but up. But if you look at the overall landscape, Brock Bowers has done nothing but continue to go up on Keep Trade Cut, even though tight end 1, obviously you can't be better than tight end 1. But on the overall scale, this motherfucker is up in tight end premium leagues to the 5th or 6th overall player and a bona fide first round startup pick for a lot of people. Now, where I fucked up is when I sold him at tight end 4 prices and was getting that, you know, maybe 1st and another decent tight end tacked on, or maybe 2 firsts or 1st and a couple seconds. And I was like, look at this profit. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here today with egg on my face going like, if I would have just had a little bit of fucking patience, man, would have just let a few games play out and let the fucking hype go up, could have got 2 firsts easily out of this guy. And now you're sitting here, I bet there's people getting 3, maybe 4 firsts in some of their fucking tight end premium leagues for Brock Bowers. Oh, I left some meat on the bone, a lot of meat on the bone. I'd still sell him, right? If you got him right now, fucking, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not shopping him. I will die on this hill that tight ends don't fucking matter in Dynasty. Unless it's some stupid tight end premium league. But for anybody who listened to me, like, sold Brock Bowers over the summer, I'm sorry. I done goofed. I fucked up big time.
There was actually a trade in our
Discord. I sold Bitcoin at $30,000. That's what happened. Like, it was like, well, it can't go any higher than this. That's what I did. Okay.
So in our Discord right now, we have a trade that just popped up in one of our channels. And if you're not on the Discord, what the fuck are you even doing with your life? Patreon.com/South Harmon. Get a become a member of the Discord and of the community. Put your trades down. We can talk about it on the show. Right now.
Definitely
can. Brock Bowers for Njoku, Keon Coleman, and the 104.
Give me the package. Give me the fucking package.
Of course. But that's
I get a tight end.
That's what we're talking about. The price here. You're still getting Njoku.
Yeah. No, fuck yeah. Give me the package, man. But I get it. A lot of people might go, even that's not enough for me. Maybe that's not enough for him. I only got one Brock Bowers trade on the whole fucking lab, man, since the first of the year. And it is it's too much to even break down on air. There's a lot of pieces going on here, man. A lot. I mean, we're talking Derrick Henry, Dak Prescott, Sutton, Jacobs, Amon-Ra, and Brock Bowers all on one side.
That's already too much to analyze, just all those names.
Yeah, the other side is like J-Mo, Tucker Kraft, some turds, 26 first, the 110, the 104, two more 26 first, and another 27 first. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 first, and Jameson Williams and Tucker Kraft. That's what we're going to call it for all the other shit.
Damn. That's too much. That's like trying to figure out what millions of miles away feels like.
Like, makes my fucking head hurt just thinking about it. That's all I got, though.
It's a million millions? I can't.
I'm looking at Brock Bowers right now in tight end premium ranks on Keep Trade Cut. He is the fifth overall fucking player. Fifth. Let that sink in, man. There's people out there who are going to take Lamar and Jaydee and Josh Allen and maybe Jalen Hurts or Joe Burrow. And then the next fucking player coming off the board is Brock Bowers.
Brock.
Fucking tight end, man. Wow. That's nuts, man. He's ahead of Joe Burrow, Jahmyr Gibbs, Malik Nabers.
That's wild.
Bijan Robinson, Amon-Ra, CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Hurts, Puka Nacua, Brian Thomas.
Comfortably. Wild.
Yeah. And I sold this dude in fucking July for like a first and a bag of peanuts. Whoops. I done fucked up. There it is, Maddie. There's my fuck ups. You got one more for us?
I do, and it'll be a quick one. It's another rookie. It's Bucky Irving. Complete no show. Complete no. It wasn't even a fade in my rookie drafts. It was, I don't care. I'm not picking Bucky Irving. I just didn't believe that his size and speed would really have a lot of success. I didn't think it was going to be a consistent level of success. And I didn't think the draft capital, you know, fourth round pick, I didn't think that was going to warrant an early role, that confidence to get him started. Well, I look out at the end of the year, he was an efficiency monster, a three down back every which way you look at it, running back 13 in fantasy, a top 45 player overall in warp, even with splitting carries. And the thing that I really take from this that hurts the most, Mike, in the games where he had a 50% or more snap share, so when he was the, quote, lead back of the Buccaneers, 21.8 fantasy points per game. I mean, we are clear for takeoff. And the lesson learned from this big miss is that in the rookie process at running back, I don't care about the combine. I don't care about the speed. I don't care about the draft capital. If you can ball at a program like Oregon at running back, I'm not saying that I am going to overvalue them, but I will be taking the shots on those players as opposed to the Jalen Wright who had the workout combine, but had clear workload issues in college, didn't have the tape that a Bucky Irving had. I'm going to make sure that I just make I'm just going to be very cautious of grabbing these players, these running backs, especially in my rookie drafts, third round, fourth round picks. Don't care where they go in the NFL draft, even later. If they are in a situation where they're at least making the team, I don't even care if it's third in the depth chart. Because remember, there was a time when we thought, it's Rashad White and Sean Tucker. They're not going to go to Bucky Irving. And nope, they did go to Bucky Irving in a big fucking way through the playoffs. And I'm just not going to let that happen again. I will always grab the running backs who look like Bucky Irving did in college, no matter where they're drafted, as long as they make a roster.
Yeah, I fucked that one up too. I fucked that one up too. I will say this, just hand to God, there was two of them that came up, and they were both kind of being drafted around the same range, Bucky Irving and Audric Estime. So I'm 50%. I faded both of them because they had terrible speed scores. And I was like, I was trying to match up like who the fuck they could be, even if they hit like top end comp. The best I came up with Bucky Irving was Kyren Williams. Again, I missed on Kyren Williams. I thought Blake Corum would fucking take over, and that didn't happen ever. So missed on Kyren Williams, and then this year I missed on fucking Bucky Irving. Pretty bad. But I did get it right on Audric Estime. So apparently if you're fat and slow, fade. If you're just small and slow,
don't fade.
Don't fade. And that's probably the one that pisses me off the most. All right, so we watched tape on him. Again, you gave the shout-out to the Patreon. And if you guys aren't aware and you're listening to the show, we do film sessions Thursday nights pretty much right up until the fucking draft goes on, where we're breaking down prospects. And it's nothing intricate. We're not giving fucking grades. Just a bunch of dudes in there watching film cut-ups of individual prospects and talking through what we see. And when we put on the Oregon tape and watch Bucky Irving, everyone there was universally impressed. The only knock I had about Bucky Irving is when he got into the open field, I was like, that's probably like a 4-5 guy if you've ever seen one. Mm-hmm. But it should be fine. Then you get to the combine. It was in the 4-5s, but the size was also abysmal, so his speed score was terrible. So I was trying to match him up, and the best I could come up with was Kyren or Devin Singletary. One of them good, one of them not so good at the running back position. Mm-hmm. But the tape was phenomenal. Audric Estime's tape, on the other hand, was just kind of mid. Like, it was just kind of looks like a big fatty out there running. Like, this is all he does. Yeah. So I faded the shit out of both of them, out of the process. I hit on one, I missed on the other. I think I'm with you, though. If I put on fucking tape of somebody like Bucky Irving ever again, I don't give a shit what the combine measurables are. Right, unless it's who was that dude from Georgia a couple years ago? Elijah Holyfield. Remember that guy? Yeah. He was like a 4.78 or whatever the fuck it was at like 200 pounds. What, if it's that bad, piss off. Like, the NFL said it was bad too when they didn't draft him. Let him go.
Right, right.
Like, we good. But a team spent draft capital on him, and Rashad White shouldn't have been the reason I fucking faded him, like, ever. Because Rashad White also, you want to talk about speed score? Not that great. Not that elusive. Not that good. Should have been more in on Bucky, and I fucked that one up. I'm with you, Maddie. That was a big, big old miss. I didn't realize it was that bad, too. When you talk about a snap share, it was 21 points per game. Get the fuck out of here.
Anytime he was the lead back this season, and that dates back even, I think he had a week 4 game at like 52%. Like, it wasn't just the end. Of course, it was at, you know, 3 straight at the end, but there was a game early on where there was an indicator and there was a clear sign. It was like, buy this guy. He's still going for a second. People think they're cashing in.
So think about this. In. You talked about Achan, right? A little corollary here between Achan and Bucky for you. Achan got a majority of the work. Bucky did not. Achan was like in the snap share in like the 60s, like high 60s. Mm-hmm. Bucky for the season is sub 50%. Sub 50%. Breakaway runs, Bucky Irving, 7th in the league. And I talked about how bad Achan was. Breakaway runs. And this is not Achan in Bucky Irving. This isn't a dude who was a track star at fucking college, right? Yeah. Like, could run possibly Olympic. In the Olympics.
Right.
No. The opposite. And yet he still finds a way to break runs off downfields. Evaded tackles, number 5 in the entire league. Juke rate, number 3 in the entire league. Like, I guess it doesn't matter if you're small, if they don't touch you. That's right. You can't hit what you can't touch.
If you're good,
I love it, man. Good. Bucky out there cooking, and as soon as they put Rashad White out to pasture, it's been nice knowing you. Bucky could be in for big, 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 big things, and I don't think dynasty ranks really reflect that too much. Where do you think he is? You got to guess.
Running back 14, I guess.
Higher, actually higher.
No way.
Six.
Wow, okay. Okay, so the keep trade cuts caught up with. There are some out there that have put him in their top 5, top 3.
Let me ask
some
you this, Bucky or James Cook?
I faded James Cook for the same reasons that I faded Bucky Irving. I would go with Bucky Irving, though. I believe that We're gonna see more passing out of Buffalo. They ran way too much. Well, not too much. They did well, but I don't think we see that type of volume out of James Cook again.
I think James Cook's awesome. I didn't fade him. I like what he did this year. I think
that could have been a miss for me too.
I like James Cook a lot, but I think the excitement all lands on Bucky Irving, because there's not like, man, if Ray Davis isn't there next year, James Cook's really gonna eat. Like, right. No, he's already eaten. Ray Davis isn't really a threat to him, right? Yeah. But you can say it with, if Rashad White isn't there next year, Bucky Irving's going to fucking eat.
Mm-hmm.
I think the excitement lies with Bucky Irving. I can't really knock any of the guys that he's over. I mean, he's over Kyren, Jonathan Taylor, James Cook, Josh Jacobs. The only one I might give you is Chase Brown.
I'm taking Chase Brown.
Yo, you're going Chase Brown? All right.
I'm going Chase Brown. I came to this realization about Chase Brown at the end of the year when in my home league, we do like ping pong, so it's not a locked in, but it's probably going to be the 105-106. He traded that for Chase Brown, and he caught heat for it. People were ragging him for it. And I was like, I think after seeing it, sometimes it takes it in real life to kind of get a grasp on. I was like, no, give me Chase Brown. That role, that speed, he's going to be fine. And what we also learned was don't count your chickens before they hatch. We already put Kyren Williams out the pasture because of Blake Corum. You could see the exact situation play out and see it happening exactly the same for Cincinnati. They draft, let's call it, I don't know, give me a third round pick here. Give me
Taj Brooks.
Give me the kid from Auburn. Give me one of, you know, that third, fourth round running back. Call it Cam Scatabo. We'll literally make it Blake Corum, Cam Scatabo.
There you go.
Gets drafted by the Bengals in the third round, and everyone's gonna say Chase Brown's dead, and then we're gonna look back at the end of the year, and he's gonna be, if healthy, a top five running back in fantasy. So yeah. I'm all in on Chase Brown. I'm trying to buy Chase Brown as long as the market still reflects a bit of a deficit in terms of how I'm valuing it versus the crowd. But you know, there will be no bigger buy window than if the Bengals draft a running back in the first five rounds.
See, what helps is Bucky out here playing at the end of the season, and Chase Brown was a little bit banged up there towards the end and didn't get as much work as we thought he was going to get. We didn't even see him in week 18. So kind of just depressing it a little bit, that end of season, like, oh, and people are going to forget that fucking Chase Brown, man. Just listen to this, Maddie, from week 9 on, fantasy points. Week 9 on, 26, 22, 19, 19, 24, 26.
Through horrible matchups. He had the whole AFC North to go through twice over. He didn't give a rip. He just
I get when you put 26 on Vegas's head. You're like, yep. All right.
That's the Vegas. Start of it all.
22 on Baltimore's head. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. Okay, might have been a fluke. 19 on the Chargers' head. 19 on Pittsburgh. 24 on Dallas, with Micah Parsons back, by the way. 26 on Tennessee, who people don't realize how good Tennessee's run defense is.
The
fucking Tavondre Sweat and and Simmons. They're, oh my God, what a fucking combination of defense. Mm-hmm. That's nasty work right there. 26 on those two big boys.
Yep. So,
you know what? I'm just not going to run up the middle. You could chase my fast ass around the outside. See ya. Yeah. Impressive work by Chase Brown. Maddie, I don't say this much, man, but I'm with you. I think I might be in on Chase Brown over Bucky Irving. No offense to Bucky. He's well deserving of being up there too. But yeah. I think that might be the play. A little strategery right there. Down tier Bucky to Chase Brown plus. Call it a day.
Yep. Be a nice Let's little go. Plus too, I think.
I think you might get a nice little second on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a first. You never know. And please, draft Cam Scatabo, and then you get a real good plus.
Yeah.
Get a great one, because people will bury him.
Yep.
They will bury him. All right, buddy. We're back. Went a little bit over an hour. 2 hours total, if you count our catch-up time. But it was good to be back, man. It's been far too long. I'm glad we can get back into the string of things. Next week, we get to humble brag and there won't be anything humble about it. You guys can all lick our balls. Okay? I'm going hard. All right? Anybody who argued with me about J-Day 101, don't listen to this episode. You ain't gonna like it. You're gonna like what I gotta say.
I'm getting liquored up and I'm victory lapping on you hoes.
Yes. I always do the misses first. Right? I like to put it out there. I learn more for it. But I do enjoy telling people about how fucking smart I am. And you will get lots of that. And then shortly after, we got a game plan here. We'll dive right into 25 class and rookies, and we'll start talking that strategy. And unfortunately for anybody who doesn't want to hear about that, that's pretty much all you're going to get for the next, I don't know, 3 months. A lot of rookie talk, a lot of rookie strategy, but we got a lot of stuff to dive into. And we're going to have our work cut out for us just on initial evaluations of this class, because it doesn't look that great so far. Even though we watched Ash and GT film last Thursday, and that guy's fucking good, man. He's awesome. I'm out here fighting people about, like, you shouldn't take him 101. Like, he ain't worth it. It's a running back. All these other running backs are really... Buddy, I came out of that one going like... Fuck, I can't say this anymore. This fucking guy's good. He's good. Real fucking good.
He's good.
He's real good. Well, we appreciate everybody that stuck with us, stuck through the break. Hope everybody had a good holiday season, traveling, seeing family, doing all that stuff. And hope you had a good end to your 2024 fantasy season. We're on to 2025, right after I victory lap next week. Appreciate everybody. We're out of this thing. Peace.
Before I came up in the game, beholders show no love. They see me in the club and used to treat me like a scrub. They wouldn't holler cause my dollars wasn't swollen up. I bet they changed their mind when them 84s come rolling up. They see that I'm a star, now they wanna sit in my car. Now they wanna call my G's, smoke my weed and sip my bar. Now they used to love to diss me, now they rush to hug and kiss me. Now they telling all their friends when I leave how they miss me. Now 281-330-8004, hit my Jones up on the low, cause Mike Jones about to blow. Before the ice was in my grill, before I got my major deal, these hoes wouldn't give a damn if I was here. Shit, I said before the ice was in my grill, before I got my major deal, these hoes wouldn't give a damn if I was here. Shit, I said before the ice was in my grill, before I got my major deal, these hoes wouldn't give a damn if I was here. Shit, because
back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me.
I remember back then, most of them hoes couldn't stand me, but now them same hoes begging me to pull down their pants. A couple of them said I was cute, but I was just too chubby. Same size, a year later, the same hoes wanna fuck me because they see me paid pimping pins, working my jelly, and they ain't tripping cause my pockets stick out more than my belly. They know I'm paid, living late in the shade, two slabs in the Escalade with four or five estates. They know that I got it made. I'm a motherfucking baller. She would want a nigga now, but I ain't got no time to call her. I'm a staller like she styled me. Now she tryna call me. Bitch, I'ma dog your whole ass like you dog me. I'm Mike Jones, don't act like you don't know the name. Ain't nothing changed but my change, I'ma stay the same. I'm Mike Jones, don't act like you don't know my name. Ain't nothing changed but my change, I'ma stay the same.
Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me.
Before my paper came, before I got my fame, these hoes that's popping on me now didn't even know my name. They said my flow was lame, they said I had no game. I told them I was finna blow, they thought I was insane. But then my name start blowing up quick, now they jumping on my dick. Cause they see me on the rise and know now my paper thick. But then my name start blowing up quick, now they jumping on my dick. But cause they see me on the rise and know now my paper thick.
Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me, now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then
hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me.